I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. This is your pre-spoiler warning announcement. That's right.
Didn't expect that, did you?
We're going to do this thing and then the spoiler warning, then the show. Yeah. And a warning, it's a long spoiler warning. That's the first warning. This is the longest spoiler warning we've ever done. Mm-hmm. So heads up on that. Second thing is our special guest on this show is the one and only Michelle Brazier, friend of the podcast. Mm. You know her. But we're putting up top that she is coming to Edinburgh. Mm. So if you are in Scotland, England, Ireland, heck, even if you're across the channel in France, head up to the Edinburgh Fringe. You can find out more details at Michelle Brazier on TikTok and Instagram. Please check out Michelle Brazier. She is one of the greatest live performers from Australia. You're going to have a great time. Anyway, enjoy this spoiler warning.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen Empire, the 2002 action film, and for some reason, as I sit between our guest and my co-host, I have a feeling one of them didn't, and I'm just really... Did you?
Yes.
What? You both watched it?
Yes.
All right, cool. I don't know
why. Why don't you trust us?
No, because right before Zach pressed record, I was like, so we all watched it, right? And you both just kind of nodded once.
No, but I was already recording.
Oh, okay.
And I think Michelle was aware that I was recording.
Yeah, I know
so
what's
this
going
is all,
on.
This is, so this is, and I think we can just keep all of this
We're being professional.
So the reason why we were like brusque in our response was because we were like, I'm recording.
Oh, I didn't
we were like,
notice
yep, let's
that
keep
yet.
Going. We were like, yep.
Okay, I apologize.
It was just a professional, yeah.
That's all right.
Well, I'm glad we all watched it because I'm quite keen to chat about it. But if you haven't watched it and you really want to watch it, don't listen to the second half of this podcast because we'll probably be chatting about it.
And don't watch the trailer because it'll tell you everything.
Everything that happens.
Oh, never watch the trailer.
I always watch trailers.
But hey, look, that's a good conversation for
the pod.
For the pod.
But this is the
spoiler warning.
This is the pod.
Rather than the spoiler warning. We haven't even introduced you
yet,
Michelle.
I'm special guest, Broden Kelly.
Anyway, this is your spoiler warning. We're going to be chatting about 2002's Empire. Anyway, see you at the pod.
It's officially the longest spoiler warning we've done yet.
Because I listen to this podcast, which is honestly, it's the only podcast of my friends that
this
I
is
listen
still
to.
Spoiler
oh, no, I
warning?
Listen to Do Go On.
This is still spoiler
yeah, is
warning,
still
Michelle.
Spoiler.
I just wanted to say that, like, I expected to hear the music. Just now, I was like, my brain was like, peace, I hate the word.
Well, Michelle, you're going to hear the music right now.
Yay.
Peace. I hate the word. I got one leg and a bucket of chicken. I'm going to put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello.
I didn't get to hear it at all.
We put it in post. Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama podcast, where two friends watch every single thing starring their favorite character actor, who they learned pretty early on was just an actor that could do character and lead, John Leguizamo. I am one of those hosts. I'm Zachary Ruane. You might know me as having just been announced that I'm in a children's science fiction show.
Oh, did they
Has
just
it been
announce
announced it?
It's been announced.
I'm looking for the press.
Yeah, can you show us the photos?
Which I said yes to.
Did you do promo
purely
photos?
Because I knew Mish would have to watch it. I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend, Mish Wittrup, who you might know from...
Literally, for the first time in a while, I have nothing on the horizon. At all. Like, if you ask me what I'm doing or what I'm up to, what's happening, for at least the next few months, nothing.
Nothing.
So if you see anything I do pop up in the next few months, know that that just came right off the noggin real quick. and it was had no pre-planning done to it whatsoever. But I'm very excited for you in this ABC Kids show.
You could have said you don't like sci-fi. You didn't have to, like, go into the whole...
Oh, I don't like sci-fi.
Yeah, that was what I was setting up.
You're a fucking idiot.
You love sci-fi.
Yes, sorry.
Joined as, not as always, by a dear friend.
Third time, bud.
Third time. Third time, dear friend, friend of the podcast, the one, the only, Michelle Brazier. You might know her from all the stuff. Michelle, hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. I have something to say.
Yeah, please.
I think that all character actors can be leads. Mm. I think that is part of being a character actor. I can't think of any character actors that I wouldn't love to see play a lead.
Do you know? I don't know if I agree with that. Oh, wow, fun. We've got some commercial radio conflict here. That's why I brought it
up. I brought it up because I wanted to challenge your...
Okay, I think I'm going to be the mediator.
What do you
the
think?
The moderator.
Well, all turtles are tortoises. Not all tortoises are turtles. I think all character actors are leads and not all leads are character actors.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with the no. Not all leads are character actors.
I agree with that.
Being a lead is a very specific skill.
Mm.
And not all leads. Most leads, great leads, are not good character actors, and it's a bit awful when... And I would say, and I've said this before on the podcast. Have I said this before on the podcast?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Part of the problem with Hollywood today is too many leads and character actor roles. You only need two leads. You only need a sexy man and a sexy lady.
It's like taking... I realised this when we did that stupid animation, which was fine. Where they took a bunch of lead actors, like Hollywood actors, and put them in the roles of these animated characters.
Mm.
And it was just...
What was the animation?
At Titan AI.
Nah.
It was awful. Well, no, it wasn't awful. Fine. I can't keep saying things were awful. I didn't like it because it was very sci-fi. Okay. Sam Lingham liked it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get Sam Lingham on for us, he likes sci-fi.
He likes sci-fi. He reads sci-fi books. He's like proper sci-fi.
Yeah, he reads
sci-fi.
The books.
Yeah. He just texted me. I haven't read it. It's probably about sci-fi.
He's here. He's here somewhere in the studio.
He's in the building.
Is he? Yeah. I thought he was...
No,
it doesn't
not.
Matter.
He's
he came back early? No, he's in
No, he's not. He's here. I saw him. We walked in together.
Oh, okay.
Is he back?
Mitch, he's been dead for 10 years.
I thought he got back today from interstate.
I think he might have. And
this is not interesting.
We can't talk
but
about
But like, okay, so like, give me an example. Give me an example of a character actor stepping into a lead and it not working.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So,
and I'm ready to be proven wrong. Like, I think Brooke Shields is a lead who can character act.
That is
such a specific example.
I think about Brooke Shields all the time because we have the same eyebrows. But
I think Brad Pitt and Guy Pearce are two character actors that, because of their looks, have been put into the lead.
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, she's a character
point.
Actor.
That's a great
they got
point.
Her wrong.
Yeah, because when you're that attractive, oh, what a burden that is.
It's so annoying that she gets those $20 million roles now instead of those $5 million roles.
Making $20 million a piece and slowly working yourself into a character role.
But who's that? Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's funny. She's really funny. But people never knew.
I think Sarah Michelle Gellar has had the coolest career.
I know. She's in everything fucking cool.
Yeah, but everything cool. And she got all her youth in this fucking sick show that made her...
She
so
lost
much
all
money.
Her youth.
She lost bullied by Joss Whedon. But then she gets to just do what she wants in adulthood. I believe that Sarah Michelle Gellar is literally just doing what she wants.
But I think Kim Cattrall's got that mad good as well, though, hey?
Yeah.
Because she's literally just like, incredible. I'm not going to do the new one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it because I don't want to. And everyone's like, please. And she's like, no.
But, you know, she, like The Rock Dwayne Johnson, came around and she's doing...
Oh, she's doing a little cameo.
She did a cameo, which made me think, this could be the conspiracy theory in me, maybe I did date too many chefs, because the first thing I thought was maybe the whole thing was a bit of a stunt, potentially.
No,
I don't reckon.
Never is.
Okay, I don't think so either because I believe Kim Cattrall, I like her, but it made me think that it could be, and I bet you money there's a very decent handful of conspiracy theorist chefs that think that the whole thing was a stunt.
Why do you think it was? Because that's always fun, but I always think like it's like when a bad ad, you know, when there's a bad ad and people are like, that bad ad was bad on purpose because then everyone was talking about the product. And I've now done enough ads or been around advertising people enough to know it's really, really hard to make a good ad. It would be so hard to do like a clever,
so bad it's good.
You know, like, hey, we're going to do a bad ad that like cuts through and then someone would be like, yeah, but if it doesn't, I get fired. So no.
Mm. Yeah. And also like the brand would never want to do it. They just never want to do
that. No one would. There's never been a bad thing. Like,
the brand,
ever.
Any brand, you can't even like. You can't fart. Like, you can't. It's not. I also, The Room, you know how Tommy Wiseau was like, yeah, it's on purpose. Yeah. Everyone was like, sir.
Was not.
There's that, on purpose and then there's that. I'm going to jump in, though, and say that just because an actor is funny doesn't necessarily mean that they're a character actor. I think there are great leads that are funny. I think a Chris Pine, he might be a character actor, and I don't know that yet, but a Chris Pine is very, very funny and a lead.
Yeah.
Will Smith is very, very funny and a lead.
Your brain, very good, because that's so true. Because Chris Pine, I would not put him in, because I always like, this is how I operate when it comes
to
reviewing.
Chris Pine in?
Who's Captain America?
No, that's Chris, another Chris.
Oh.
That's Chris.
It's not, is it?
Chris Pine is Star Trek.
Captain America looks, he's the man who looks like Tim when Tim had hair. Captain, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit.
Very kind to Tim.
He does.
I love Tim.
No, look, I'm going to get you a photo of that Captain American guy. It looks exactly like Tim looked. When he had hair.
Is it not Chris Evans?
Chris Evans.
Okay, so which one's Chris Pine's then?
Chris Pine is...
I don't watch Star Trek.
No.
Oh, him.
He's in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
All right, here's a fun fact about Chris Pine, right? You know how I went to that premiere?
Mm.
And he was in that movie,
yes.
Right? And I was far away from him. I was like a good half a block.
I'm showing you this photo of Chris Evans.
Yeah, I need to see
the
Tim
same
with
teeth
hair.
As, oh, yeah.
Okay, he
don't
does.
Don't you remember Tim with hair?
Yeah, but
hair.
I just, yeah, that's, yes.
He has a vibe.
I see it.
There's a vibe.
Yeah. Chris Pine was across the street saying hello to fans. He was wearing like a loose-fitting silk suit. And I have never in my entire life seen a more attractive man in my entire life. And you know how usually when you see people from the movies, they're smaller or more plain than you'd expect?
Yes. Smaller is true, yeah.
Smaller, but also just more plain. I feel like what looks good on screen is not necessarily what is striking in person. Mm. There's like a fineness to their features and a plainness.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pine from across the street was the most attractive man I've ever seen in my life.
That's amazing.
Michelle is showing me a picture of Tim. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Same, 100% I see it.
Same category.
Very different with hair.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Isn't that interesting?
I've never seen a celebrity in real life like the one of the hot ones, I don't think.
The like super hot ones.
Yeah, I want to see one of the hot ones. I'm not saying that funny is necessarily character. Sorry, I've really derailed this by talking about.
No, that's okay. Go for it.
You say you listen to this pod. This is very in keeping.
Okay, yeah. What were you saying about Mish? What were you saying about Zach's brain was very good because the way your brain works is.
I wouldn't have thought of it like that, but that's so because okay. So the original argument, if we go back to the original argument, which is that Braz believes that every character actor could be a lead actor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at me and you went, "What's your opinion?" And you were like, "Say it." And I was like, "I don't." Don't know
you need
yet.
To think about
I haven't developed the thought. Yeah. I don't think I agree with you, but I can't think of any examples, which makes me think that maybe Braz is on the money.
I guess it depends on the part. This is what I would say. I think it depends on the part. Vincent D'Onofrio could be the lead and has been close to the lead or the lead many times. He was the lead in the not CSI, the other one, Law and Order.
Yeah.
And I think the more character actor they are, the more interesting the film has to be for them to be the lead. Because I'm thinking when you go deep into character actor, like the one we love from Speed and Donnie Darko.
Oh, Beth Grant.
Beth Grant. Now, Beth Grant could be the lead. She's the Christian mum in Donnie Darko.
I'm just Googling she always, Beth
she's
Grant.
Like, she's in Too Wong Fu.
Oh, my God. She's I've always like that. She always plays like the uptight lady that's like, oh, no. Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She could be the lead.
Oh, yeah, her.
But here's what I think. Here's what I think. I actually think that, yes, any character actor could be the lead of the right kind of film.
Mm.
But to lead a big budget film is, I think, a rare skill. To be able to be charismatic and carry a film like that through all of that. And I think we see it sometimes with Marvel because it used to be, I remember reading this thing once where it was like, if superheroes were a big thing and it wasn't an interconnected universe like it is with Marvel, Tom Cruise would be playing three of them. Tom Cruise would play Iron Man and then 4 years later he would play, I don't know, Ant-Man. Or like you'd have three or four leads playing multiple parts, but because it's an interconnected universe, they keep having to find like leading men usually, but leading people, and they're stretching it. And sometimes there are times where you go, oh, they're good, but they can't carry a $200 million film.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't seen that. In my opinion, all character actors I've seen play leads have done well. Mm. So I am yet to be. It is yet to be proven that they're not. It might be
an arbitrary distinction.
I was thinking, maybe so the only one I can kind of think of is Rob Schneider.
Now that is a lead.
I don't that think, is like, a, but then I go,
that's an ingenue.
He's been the lead in films.
Yeah.
But not a leading man.
Yeah.
Not a lead. Like, it's not been a, like, they've very much been character-driven and also not great films. So I think this is the Schneider effect. I think you think you know something, but then Rob Schneider comes in and fucks you.
But we've never given Rob Schneider the opportunity to do an uncut gem.
For like a decade.
No, because we're seeing him still do the same thing. We've never given him an uncut gem. I also don't think he's good.
My question to you, did you look up Beth Grant? Are you familiar with who Beth Grant is now? Do you think Beth Grant could carry iRobot?
I've not seen iRobot, but yeah, I do.
Answer the question, Brad.
Do you think Beth Grant
could carry
iRobot?
Yeah.
Could she carry Bad Boys 2?
Is she Ant-Man, Brad? Is she fucking Ant-Man?
Honestly, yeah, she's Ant-Man to me. Yeah.
Beth Grant is Ant-Man. Hey, I love that challenging provocation from him.
No, but I think it's a really interesting point. I do. I think there are very, very few actors that can do it all really well.
Yeah.
Like, and in doing this project, this Leguizamo-rama project, I've realised that John Leguizamo has shone in every genre, in every part. And like that says to me that he's like surely one of the best.
He's good. You should start a podcast about him.
Yeah.
Well, we did. And lucky that he's good.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God.
Because sometimes that's all I'm hanging on.
100%.
Earlier before the podcast started, Michelle, you mentioned that you're a coffee snob. Mm. And I just was wondering if you'd like to talk about that.
Can I just say why this conversation started? Because I feel like we need to build the scene.
Okay, sure.
If we do morning, because this is a morning podcast right now, we're recording in the morning. And if we record in the morning with a guest, I often buy them a coffee.
Very kind.
And so I gave Braz a little call and I was like, do you want a coffee? Yes, I want a coffee. Fucking sick. Now, I live about 15-minute drive from the studio. 10-minute on a good day.
You're doxing yourself.
No, because it could be in any direction.
Oh, you're doxing. You're making a dox circle.
You're making a circle. A
dox radius.
For fuck's sake. It doesn't matter.
No, that's right. You live 45.
I didn't say if it was a drive or if it was, but then I get in my car later and
shut up. Yeah, that's right. Okay. No.
So good. I was like, I want a coffee.
Most people live within 15 minutes of this studio.
I was like, I want a coffee for the drive. I'm very tired this morning. So I was like, I'm going to get a coffee, but I don't want to get Braz's coffee from the same place because then by the time I get to the studio, it'll be cold.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting myself a coffee at a Degani's. Now, if you're overseas, they don't have Degani's overseas.
Might even be
an
interstate thing. Not all states have it.
Oh, well, Degani's is like a chain cafe. So
your Costa.
Your Costas, your Starbucks.
Your coffee clubs.
Your coffee clubs.
Your Gloria Jeans.
Your coffee bean and tea leaf.
It's not a Starbucks. I think it's the one down from a Starbucks.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I went and got myself one from there because that's convenient.
Yeah.
And then I did the drive and then I went to a nice trendy place near the studio and bought Braz her soy flat white.
Which I appreciate.
And then I put them down and I was like, here's your from this leopard place and here's mine from Degani's. And Braz said, thank you so much. Oh, yum, yum. I'm so glad you didn't get it for me from Degani's because if you'd gotten it from me from Degani's, I would have been like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And I get that because I too like good coffee. Now continue the story, Braz.
To be fair, I was just making a little joke at my own expense. I wasn't trying to 100%. Say, oh, thank God you didn't get me that disgusting
drink. I think
we
need to really convey tone here.
It wasn't like you feral pov bitch, drink your peasant coffee. You stupid bitch.
I think there was a little bit of... really wasn't that. It was a fun gag amongst friends. You know, we're recontextualizing it here by publishing it.
I'm so sorry if anyone out there is like unfollowing Michelle Brazier because of that story. Grow up. Like,
listen.
Yeah.
Grow up. Listen, so what I was going to say, when Zach, we had this conversation and you said, are you a coffee snob? I said, yeah, I'm the worst. And then you said, I'm happy with instant. And I went to say, and then you said, save it to the pod. Save it for the pod.
Because I said,
that's where we're up to.
So for context, I said I was happy with instant. But do you know what? There's a caveat on that. There's a little asterisk next to that. So you say your thing and then I'll say my little asterisk.
Okay. So my coffee preferences are like a batch brew from a place with a barista with many tattoos in his 40s. In his 40s.
Yes. Like you're choosing this
with
life.
With some form of certificate in the cafe.
He's
somewhere.
Won competitions. Yeah. Or it's a cafe run by lesbians and they can be any age. But it's very specific. They've made me a batch brew. There's two on offer. And I've had one of those.
I am a little bit horny.
My second...
I'm always horny. It's like...
I honestly just got a little bit horny.
Mish, there's a concept in physics. I'm not going to talk about physics that much. But there's this concept that's come out of quantum physics. Now, I don't understand it. I'm going to blow it.
Beth Grant.
If there's a physicist
Beth
listening,
Grant man.
They're going to go, Zach, you blew it.
Grant man.
But basically...
Grant man.
But if there is a concept in quantum physics that there is no true vacuum... Because there's always the possibility that a particle could come out of it. This has come out of quantum physics.
Yeah, right? I'm going to kill myself.
No, just listen to me here. It's basically saying that the state, that the vacuum of the universe is never truly at zero, right? Because there's always the potential that something could emerge. And that is how I feel about your horniness. Your horniness is always just on the edge so that you can say, hey, this coffee conversation, it's making me horny.
Really funny to me.
And you're always saying shit's making you horny. I don't know if it is. I think you're just horny. I don't think this talk
you just sit close
making
to the
you
edge,
horny.
To the edge.
Are either of you like even slightly more horny than you were before Brad started a coffee conversation?
I'm hornier now, like slightly because we're talking about horniness, but not because of the coffee.
I don't know. I think I'm like the same horny.
As you were at the start of this conversation.
I think so, yeah.
The more we talk about
it. I started thinking about the cafe full of lesbians, then I was like, there could be. But yeah, maybe that makes me a little bit
horny. No, it's the 40-year-old with
tattoos. Yeah, I know. We have different preferences.
Oh, it was the 40-year-old. I thought you were horny over batch brew.
No, it's the whole thing.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm glad I actually dug in because now that I know you're talking about the 40-year-old man serving coffee.
No, it was the whole thing. That's attractive. It was the getting a delicious coffee from someone very attractive who's very good at making them.
Mm-hmm.
That whole situation is like, I'm not saying I'm like cracking moisty. I'm just saying that like I get it.
It's the man serving. It's the sexy man serving.
All the lesbians. Like it was the whole lesbians. Thing. Hot people with hot, talented people who do things for you.
Yeah, I get it.
That's what it is.
And she's wearing a singlet top and her arms are out.
Yeah, nice.
I'm fine.
She looks like that new super lady.
Anyway, so that's my first preference. My second preference is a really good soy latte. This is rare. It has to be Bonsoy or Happy Happy Soy Boy. You, even then, it's still a risk. But I will not get a coffee from somewhere that has like alternative milk company. I'm not doing that. I'm not interested in a...
Oh, no.
Here goes all my ad campaigns for Vitasoy.
Yeah, I would be really careful here, Michelle. This is your bread and butter here.
But if Happy Happy Soy Boy is listening, I just want to say thank you. And they have to not burn it. I drink soy milk and people fuck it up. It's so easy to fuck up. And it's ruined and it's really bad and you've paid $5. So I'm really specific. And at Adigani, for starters, I don't think they're carrying Bonsoy. Or Happy Happy Soy Boy.
I don't think so, no.
But if they are, then I think they're going to burn it, you know? There's a lot of places that are going to burn it. I don't think the barista or the lesbians, I don't think that those people will burn it, but I think they've taken more care in the batch brew, and out of respect for them, I would prefer to have the batch brew. But those are my two options. And then my third option is instant coffee.
Yeah. So this is where my asterisk is, similar to you. In fact, I think it's because I am more of a coffee snob than I'm letting on.
Yeah.
Mm. Here's a twist. I was at a thing recently. I was in an office recently and they had like a whole coffee machine. And because people were being funny about plunger coffee, so they got in this whole like espresso machine, right? Mm. Those like home ones. And they offered to make me one and it was a whole complicated thing and they did a great job. But what I said and what I realized in this moment, I was like, no, I'll have an instant coffee because I was of the opinion and I think because everyone, I felt like everyone was, people get so coffee snobby that they're like, I only drink espresso coffee. Not, I only drink the best coffee available to
Absolutely.
Me in the situation.
Yes, yes.
Because I think a bad espresso coffee without the right amount of pressure and mm-hmm. heat is maybe not worse than an instant coffee, but an instant coffee is the drug and you get it done quick.
Mm. I think it, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they're both not great.
I'd prefer a plunger. I've got an AeroPress at home.
Mm. Yeah.
I take my AeroPress to the UK because they don't do soy over there. And as much as I try, I can't get into the oat.
Sounds like a Missy
for
Higgins
my coffee.
Lyric.
I take my AeroPress to the UK. I
you're
take
not, you're not a fan of the oat.
I take my AeroPress to London when I feel sad and miss you. I am.
I want the AeroPress. I want the AeroPress for me.
Wish I was driving down the Hume Highway with my AeroPress beside me and my blue heeler. She's having a time of it in the back of the U. I'm singing.
I don't
London's
want.
Not the same without you. London's not the same.
All I've got is international roast and London's not the same.
I think I drink instant coffee because I'm a coffee wanker, but I'm not such a coffee wanker that if the coffee's bad at a place, I'm not like pushing to change it or refusing the coffee.
I refuse the coffee.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
I also don't, it doesn't affect me as much. I can have a coffee at nighttime and go to sleep.
Oh, right.
So yeah, I'm not looking for
I'm
the,
up,
for
I'm
the
up
hit.
For days.
I'm looking for the ritual. I'm looking for a hot beverage in my hand and an exchange with a stranger.
Yeah. My coffee opinion is mm-hmm. thus, I just need one in the morning and yeah. whatever's the most convenient, right. easy for me to get. So I really wanted one for the drive. Otherwise, I would have waited to get one at the trendy place. I also wasn't aware at that point exactly how many coffees I needed to buy. But this Degani
yeah.
is, of all the Deganis I've tried, the best, which makes it a 5 out of 10, to
That's
be completely
great. It's
clear.
A great Degani.
But also, I will say this, I'm an oat milk drinker. Braz is a soy milk drinker.
Different.
Massive difference.
I would have an oat
it
from Degani.
It is so easy to fuck up soy and yeah. soy... Like, I know everyone's, like, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there just like fucking unfollowing Braz today, right? Hearing all this shit going, absolutely not.
I wouldn't
but
have
you
thought it was that bad.
but
and
you
man,
hear
I think
me.
We've really put it out of context. Yeah, like, she really
I'm not
going like,
to complain. I'm not going to say I'm not going in there. I would just be like, oh, no, thank you.
To be very clear, I'm joking.
Oh, you got one of those peanut butter balls? I'll have one of those. Oh, I would have been just polite and nice.
You're playing with a woman's reputation.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to say that Bonsoy and Happy Happy Soy Boy or whatever
Give me a call.
Are the best soy milks by far and away. And isn't as good. But if Vitasoy wants to prove to me that they are as good financially.
Maybe through a taste test.
Yeah, through a taste test or through chats with a potential agent that I no, might get.
But we're
I wouldn't
talking
be
about, we're
in
just
that.
Saying,
I
we're
just
trying
want to clarify,
set up.
I'm
just
not
the...
interested in working with them.
Michelle.
You don't want your name on.
No.
Okay.
Huge you, risk for you.
That's how much money.
Four things that you can advertise.
Okay, Tom, can you go back and bleep out every time I say the brand?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
Tom.
Thank you. Tom.
Thanks,
you.
Tom.
And also that time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Or every time.
The past and future.
Every yeah. single
We're
time.
We're going to get you a fucking deal with. And that time as well, Tom. Should we jump into the...
Yeah, we're going to cut to an ad break.
Yeah, of course. And what you need to understand is you have to listen through the whole ad break because after the ad break, Michelle Brazier is going to reveal...
her favourite coffee order.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we're back. Braz, what's your coffee order?
It's a batch brew.
We already said that.
From a
You listen to the whole ad for that.
Egg on your face. All right, I am on Blurb today.
Blurby.
Let's do it. Empire is an action/drama film set in New York and released in 2002, but was obviously filmed or partially filmed in the first half of 2001.
Cool.
It tells the story of Victor, a self-described Latin hustler who makes a living selling cocaine on behalf of Isabella Rossellini, surrounded by a tight group of friends and adoring girlfriend named Carmen, whose mum was in Sex and the City for a few episodes, and it took me a whole movie to figure that out. Life is flipped for Victor when Jack, played by Peter Sarsgaard, and we got into a lot of trouble for how we pronounced that name.
Well, they're two different names.
Skarsgård.
Yeah, I think it's Sarsgaard.
He is a Sarsgaard.
Yeah.
Alexander is a Skarsgård.
Oh, there are the Skarsgård. There's the Skarsgård dynasty and then Alexander there's also Sarsgaard.
And this is Peter Sarsgaard.
I always assumed they had the same name.
Same.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, important. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I said that so definitively.
Because old Sarsy boy's in a lot
this
of
is
films
the one.
With,
this
with
is
Johnny
the one
Lake.
That's married to Maggie
yeah.
Gyllenhaal, whose brother was very mean to Taylor Swift.
Oh, really?
Oh, have you not heard?
No.
Oh, I know it all too well.
Mish over here entertaining herself.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah, Skarsgård and Sarsgaard.
Ah, that really makes a difference. He's been in so many Leggy's movies. And we've been saying Skarsgård the whole time. Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone listening.
Sarsgaard. Life is flipped for Victor when Jack, played by Peter Sarsgaard, a presumably wealthy uptowner, offers him a job.
Hey, you want a job.
Your job.
Offers him a job. Fucking hell. Woo. Offers him a job with the Fancy Boys. John plays Victor, the lead role. Hello. He's in every single scene of this movie except for three of them.
He is in it heaps. Is that your, that's your blurb? Yeah, he is in it heaps.
I thought that was fine.
That was a good blurb. No, because I was just about to start talking.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was a good blurb. I've got to tell you, the most excited I was in this movie was during the opening titles because there was like a run, because I didn't watch the trailer, and there was like a run of people in this cast that just like, lit me on fire. When I saw John Leguizamo number one build. We get excited with an and John Leguizamo on this podcast, Michelle. So when I saw John Leguizamo before anything else, I was like, oh my Lord, what a delight. And then I saw Sarsgaard, who is a real character actor in my opinion. Someone I'd have no interest in seeing be a lead, even if he could be. He's always delightful on the third bill. And I was so excited when I saw him. Are you going to say
the end?
Who was your end? Oh, before this, Denise Rich.
Oh,
is it Richards?
Yes, Denise Richards. Denise Richards.
So when I saw,
I thought that you'd like this.
Yeah.
When I saw the left turn, because I've been seeing all these great character actors, and then what? Denise Richards?
Yeah.
She's in this film. Oh my Lord! And I was like, I was already on cloud nine. Denise Richards. She was the like twist that I needed. Mm. Right. She was right there at the. Okay, what is this movie? And then the and.
The and is what brought it home for me because it's the and Isabella Rossellini, which she gets the and build all the time.
Yeah.
That is her. She's famous for the and build.
She would, God help the producer that signs her and Samuel L. Jackson onto a film.
Oh, they're fucked.
Could you get an cast. And then a with?
Well, that's what they're pulling out on the Fast and the Furious films now. They're like half and now.
Yeah.
They're of like course. and with.
Yeah.
I've got to say, Braz, when I gave you this movie to watch, I was like, I reckon that Braz has some great like opinions on Denise Richards because I do and I feel like you and I probably share the opinion that she's fucking sick.
Yeah, she's great.
We fucking love
her.
She's
so beautiful. She rules.
She's so beautiful. And Braz, like me, loves campy horror 90s films, right? And she's in so many like early noughties, late 90s campy thriller type movies. Tits out, great hair.
Yep.
always gets really great scenes. Do you know much about Denise Richards, Zach? You're looking like you don't.
No, yeah, I do, but like I don't think I've formed an opinion on Denise Richards. She's always fun because I love
fun.
One of my faves is Starship Troopers, and she's great in Starship Troopers.
I've not seen that.
It's very sci-fi. I don't think you'd like it, but she's great. You would like it.
Mm.
It's very sci-fi, but you would like it for the cast. The cast is just like...
Who else is in it?
I couldn't tell. Neil Patrick Harris in a really early like adult Neil Patrick Harris role. But beyond that, it's like... A whole bunch of Denise Richards. Mm. It's just the sexiest.
Yeah, great.
Late 90s, 28-year-olds playing teenagers you've ever seen. The lead is like, the jaw on that man is like horrific. It's so full on. You would love it for the cast. I know you'll hate it for the sci-fi, but you'd love it for the cast. It's incredible. Fuck yeah.
I watched Wild Things recently.
I need to watch Wild Things.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's so important.
It's so important. I watched it when I was way too young.
Are you still straight?
Yeah.
That's fucking mental.
But straight in the, like, I would say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of way. I know you're still human. I was just checking.
Yeah. Of course. I'm not fucking insane.
That's her and Neve Campbell.
And Matt.
Is it Neve Campbell or Neve Campbell?
I've always said Neve Campbell. Neve Campbell. It's Neve Campbell. I say both. Anyway, and it's got Matt Dylan.
Yeah.
But no, that movie, I watched it when I was way too young and didn't understand or comprehend it, but remember thinking like, oh, that's some hot sex or something like that when I was young.
Yeah.
But not comprehending the film. And then I was like, I'm older now. I wonder what the storyline is. It fucking, it's so sick. You have to.
It's a thriller, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sexy thriller. Yeah, sexy. You only remember the pool.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember.
My favourite pool sex scene is Showgirls. Oh,
I've not seen Showgirls.
Michelle, trigger warning for the end. It's such a shame because I'd love to screen it, but there's a really violent scene at the end.
Oh, okay.
But there is a sex scene in that film.
Yeah.
That is the funniest, like least. You talk about, you know, Mish's horniness, like unhorny.
It's so... the sex scene in Showgirls is so full on. Like, it is the... But, like, what were they going for? It's not like you're... It's not like a 3-second... It's like a full 2-minute...
Who directed it?
Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven.
Oh.
Because he made it after... It's the same writer as... What was the sexy thriller you love? That he made the year before
Basic Instinct.
So important.
So he made Basic Instinct and the writer did as well. And then I think they just got free rein and then they were like, well, how far can we push this?
Mm.
And they just pushed it past sexy into just this realm that is just
grotesque.
Grotesque. Like, yeah. But not even. It's just like nothing. I feel nothing. I watch. There's just this.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit in it. I love this bit that someone pointed it out on something. There's a bit in it, like half. There's nudity through the whole film. There's like literally no not nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene halfway through the movie where she like rips off her bikini, like the showgirl choreographer rips off the bikini of the lead, like revealing her breasts. And it's like, we have seen these breasts more than we've seen them covered.
I've never cared less about seeing breasts.
But
in
it's
my
like
life.
Done like this big reveal. Yeah. It's phenomenal. Yeah. The movie is so sexless. It's so
funny. But if not for that one scene in it, it would be like one of the most perfect movies. But Showgirls. That one scene is fucked.
Okay, I'm gonna watch Showgirls. We saw, we had some nudity in Empire.
Oh, good one. Bring back. Did we
bring him back to Empire? Mm. Yeah, the bath scene.
Oh, yeah. That was odd.
What an insane. Okay, so they went to a party.
Yeah.
And the party was attended by a very vast amount of age groups.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very strange. Yeah. We enter the party. I've skipped ahead. Do we need to, like, go into the story of this?
No, you just need to give context to the scene and we don't even
okay.
do that.
So John Leguizamo's met this rich man through Denise Richards because he's dating her friend. And he's gone to this party with his girlfriend that's Denise Richards' boyfriend's, you know, Richard. He's meeting this guy there. And they go there and he's from the Bronx and they're all rich and Denise Richards...
He's wearing a really big jacket.
Yeah, he's wearing a big jacket. We see Denise Richards from behind at first, and we assume she is a black woman because what she is wearing on her head is an afro.
Yes. Mm.
And then she turns around and it is Denise, and we go, oh, yes, 2002.
Yeah.
All right. And then they would just sort of walk around this party, and it's like Denise Richards there, and she's like young and hot, and like young and hot people who I guess, and then there's like just like a lot of 75-year-old men there. Mm. And then there's these two women in the bath whose job it is to make eye contact with men
and
who
touch
are around,
each other's boobies.
Touch each other's boobies, just sponge bath twins.
It was so such a surreal moment because it wasn't given the context of performance art.
I
didn't know if it was happening.
Where are you?
Or if it was performance art, or if it was just like part of the party, but there were too many people at the party that weren't the kind of people that would go for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it
100%.
It was just the director just went, and what if?
There's some naked
women. I think the rich people would have this.
Yeah, naked women in bath. And so John goes up to the roof to kind of like go, oh, God, I don't want to be here. I feel so out of place because I'm from the Bronx and I sell cocaine and all these people, whatever. And then Sarsgaard comes over and he's like enjoying the view and gestures to these two like women just in the bath flopping about.
But they're
and
right then they, next to them.
Then they
they're
proceed
basically
to have,
in the bath with
100%.
Them.
Then they proceed to have a very important conversation about the trajectory of their lives in this room with these two women just sponge bathing
It's so yucky. It's yucky.
It's interesting.
It was just an odd choice. It was really out of place for the rest of the film, I feel. I will also say that this film is one of... There's a handful of them, but one of the most early 2000s films I've ever seen in terms of music, fashion, the way it's shot. Like the
way
whole...
it's shot, I love the transitions.
Oh, the fade-ins and outs.
It's so good.
And this kind of slow motion, when the shutters open, so like in the camera, so the slow motion's kind of blurry.
I
and
really
like,
love that stuff.
Ooh, it's like, it was filmed like, the opening credits looked like the opening credits of a legal drama from the early 2000s.
Yeah. It sort of reminded me of a lot of 90s stuff, to be honest. Like,
it was that late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was an era, and I love that era.
And it was a scrappy era. Mm. Things had started to emerge a little shinier, and then, but yeah, it just sat back in that like sort of dark, graffiti. It was very fun. And John Leguizamo wears a necklace around his neck that says G.
It is the ugliest chain.
It's so big.
I feel like they were like, we'll use this chain in rehearsal or something. Like
and then we'll just,
get the real one. And then they couldn't, or they forgot, and they're like, you're just going to have to wear this chain.
Do you know what I reckon happened? I reckon it was like on day one, he hadn't seen it, the director hadn't seen it, and then the art department brought it on in day one, and he was just like, oh. And he took a beat, like he took a full beat, and they're like, it's G. And he's like, yeah, it's in the whole movie.
And then they went, do you know what? He probably wears it inside.
Yeah.
He wears it inside his shirt for a lot of it.
Yeah.
We'll put it inside. John, just put it inside. I think he wears it inside.
And they put it inside because they were like, we could still have time. If we put it in the shirt, we'll still have time to get a new one by tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they put it in the shirt and then he got to the second scene of the day and it was like a topless scene. He was like, oh, all right. This is the G.
This is honestly the one. It's like a thick gold chain, fine, but then the G that sits right between his pectoral is like a Comic Sans G.
It's like he got it from Famous Arthur Daly's, which is a dollar shop.
Yes!
It's like...
But I was wondering, this was a real moment for me where I was like, is that what... Because it was his brother's, right? And I was like, is that what people wore in the 80s, early 90s, 80s?
Maybe.
Like, is that what that was evoking?
I guess.
But maybe not. I don't know. Mm.
Anyway, it was very ugly and I loved it.
Mm, same.
Mm-hmm.
And it saved his life.
It did save his life. Not the end.
Not at the end.
Spoiler warning, he does die in this film. Very legs to do around this era of filmmaking he was doing. He does die in this movie.
It was quite sad, wasn't it?
Yes, I thought so. I thought it was very sad.
But he sort of deserved it because he was a bit of a dick.
Well, it was like, I think it was just kind of like a, I need to sneeze.
He was a dick. He was a dick, but I thought they made a fair argument that also a product of his circumstance. I thought that was an interesting sort of thesis of the film.
Yeah, I like the idea that, they're like, he was a businessman just like these Wall Street businessmen and
one thing
like that.
I will say,
the way he spoke to his girlfriend was pretty full-on.
Oh yeah, awful, awful. No, that was definitely full on. I'll let you comment on that. No comment from me. I don't endorse that kind of behavior, even from fictional characters. But I think that one thing I thought after I'd watched it, like I quite enjoyed the ride, but one thing I thought after I watched it, and this is a big spoiler alert, but the reveal is that Peter Sarsgaard is a con man and like a full con man. He goes up to the penthouse and it's empty. He goes to the office where they met and it was actually just a realty office that he'd like put a fake sign on. Like he was a full con man and he did this con to get money off of John. And one thing I think I wish they had done is that he wasn't full con man. I wish he'd been more like a Bernie Madoff. I wish he'd been like a white collar crime, that he was legit.
But he'd made a few mistakes and he was in too deep.
Well, not even that. Like I kind of wish it was the idea. I think to see through the theme of the film, you know, this is just me, but to see through the theme of the film is that this is a guy, like that when John Leguizamo in his world, you know, in his world, you know, that's criminal. But in this other world that on Manhattan Island, you can steal $4.5 million from a person and do it legally and be like, well, sorry, that, you know, I'm good. I think is kind of more interesting. It's like this Peter Sarsgaard guy is as bad as he is, but could get away with it.
I think that's interesting.
I just think that could have been
I loved the patheticness of him at the end, though.
Oh, when he was like, I don't know what to say.
But this is what I mean.
What can I possibly say?
This is what I mean is then there would have been I think if he had ripped him off legally, if he had ripped him off the way that Wall Street people rip people off every single day, and then he brought his kind of law into his house.
Yeah, I agree.
And was like, hey, you know, in your world, you get a slap on the wrist and maybe you're fine. In my world, I shoot you in the head. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I also, was Denise Richards in on it?
Yeah.
So why didn't we, like, I feel like we didn't get to see enough of her. We didn't get to see a betrayal between her and her best friend.
Well, yes, she did. She tried to give John Leguizamo a big blowjob.
Yeah, but we didn't see the two of them together.
Oh, she got smacked in the head real hard.
That is true. But, like, I wanted to see.
Sorry, you need to see. No, Michelle, we've done nothing but watch early 2000s movies. So our moral compass has regressed.
Nah, she smacked him in the head. She smacked her in the head good.
I just wanted to see those two women and how complex that is of being like, 100%. I was your friend, I lured in your partner, the father of your baby. And, like, the complexity of that for Denise Richards, if she does love her friend, like, when she finds out that they're pregnant, like, does that waver her? Mm. I don't know. I just was like, oh, there's so much rich going on between these women, but it's 2002, so we'll never see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. No, I actually agree with that. I do agree with that. It would have been really cool to see a bit more of the Denise Richards, and I don't know the actress's name. I'm sorry, but the character's name was Carmen.
I just think there was something, like, it ended up being that he was a very similar kind of crook, or even I just wish there was something about the comparison between white collar crime and I agree.
And,
you know, I just think that could have been interesting.
And no, I agree with that absolutely.
One thing I thought was really fascinating. You know how you talked about her hair being like an afro?
Yes.
I was thinking about that. Right as you said it, I was like, yeah, that is. But then I thought about it, and I thought they often were looking at African art, and like when they were in the bar, there was like an African themed artwork like around the musician playing, and all of the service staff are Latino and I wonder if there wasn't an element that it was deliberate, like this. I just wonder if there wasn't a layer.
I mean, there was a lot about race and about class, and I mean, even but labels that we put on people. It was a little bit of that.
Just something about like how that world interacts with. I just wonder if there was a deliberateness to it, which is hard to know in 2002.
Yeah.
I do have a bit of a fun fact about this film.
Oh, I love a fun fact.
John Leguizamo was not originally cast as the role of Victor. Oh. He was originally cast as the role of Jimmy. wow. who was his best mate, who took over that particular corner.
Yeah.
Is he the one who shoots the guy and starts Yep.
So that was originally his role.
And then went traditionally what he would be cast.
Yeah, Hunch. Yeah. But John was offered that role, and then John read through the script and, like, through, like, some working and development, just goes, I really want Victor. Went to the director, who this is their first movie, by the way, the director's first film. Went to the director and was like, I really want Victor. And he was like, are you sure? We can't afford you because you're John Leguizamo.
Ah.
And John's like, I want it. I'll take it for whatever. And then because they took John and John took the role of Victor, put his name on as producer for this film, grabbed all the other names, the Sarsgaard, the Denise, the Isabella Russell, that got the big names because John was playing the lead in this film.
That's amazing.
For a very small amount of money.
Good on John.
Yeah. He just really wanted the role.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll do it for the cost that you're going to pay me for Victor. I mean, for Jimmy or whatever.
But it's a great role. Victor. I love his redemption in being is kind of like just not wanting to fuck Denise Richards. Like,
yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I respect that he didn't. Like, how hard would it be to not fuck Denise Richards?
Really hard. Yeah. I was like, good for you.
Denise Richards always, like, it's very 90s. I don't want to go into this. But, like, I was just thinking about Neve Campbell and, like, Denise Richards always had a counterpoint. Always had. She was always, like, the sultry to the innocent. Like, there's always, like, the sweet.
Oh, my God, always.
Like, always. I can't think of a single role that she played where there wasn't, like, the sweet, innocent counterpoint to her role. Like,
And that's why she died. It was a reaction against – I can talk about this for a long time. It was a reaction against feminism and people rising up. Then they started idealizing, like, young women, very young, very innocent, very wide-eyed. And so they would put them opposite a siren, and the siren would always lose or be bad or whatever.
Evil.
It was this reaction to women standing up and saying, we're not going to do sex scenes. We're not going to do this. And then so they went, well, we'll just cast a 16-year-old and we can do that because it's this time.
Isn't that fucked up?
Mm. And it's a byproduct of that. It sort of happened in the end of the 80s and then... Anyway, I just watched the Brooke Shields documentary.
I really want to watch that.
Brooke Shields.
What's it called? Pretty Baby. Pretty Baby.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
I really want to watch it. It looks so interesting. She's so interesting. What an fucked career. Anyway, Denise Richards, I wonder now what Denise thinks when she looks back at her, like, catalogue, I suppose. I mean, is she still working? I'm sure she's doing bits and stuff like that. But to me, it's the perfect example of, like, you know, when your mother says to you, you'll never look as good as this, you're so beautiful. She can totally look back and be like, I was fucking hot when I was younger. I was so fucking hot. Everything I did was hot. Like, I couldn't fucking put a step wrong. And she can now, I'm sure she's probably still very hot. But she can literally look back at her career and just be like, fuck, I was fucking hot.
Yeah, she's the sort of person that's probably still hot, I imagine.
Yeah, probably still hot.
She's on Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah. She is. No, she only did one season and I haven't gotten to that season yet.
Oh, my God.
Beverly Hills.
She's in one of my favourite 90s horrors, which is almost impossible to find, but I think you can rent it on YouTube now, called Valentine.
Yeah, I remember
Have
Valentine.
You seen?
Yeah.
With Angel from Buffy?
Yeah, with Angel, with David
Boreanaz.
I love her. I
How
love
good is that
Buffy
movie? We've never talked about
film.
That.
I want to watch Valentine again.
What was that one?
Do you want to watch it with me?
Yes.
What was that one that Sarah Michelle Gellar was in with the magic food? Did you ever see
Simply
that?
Irresistible. Of course I did.
That was on Tubi the other day and I took a photo.
I've never seen Simply Irresistible.
She makes magic food.
If she cries into her food, it makes it, when people eat it, they cry.
Like I'd forgotten that layer. All I remember was magic food.
Whatever emotion she's feeling when she's cooking, she has the ability to make people feel that emotion when they eat the food.
That's so beautiful.
It's actually an original French film.
It sounds What we want to do is we want to take the French film, we want to remove the, like, whimsy and just make it this weird, like, early 2000s romantic film.
That's what Simply Irresistible was originally, a French film that then got remade with Buffy and some guy who never had much of a career beyond.
Legit great idea for a podcast just popped into my head. I don't think you'd do – I think you wouldn't just do Buffy, but my thing is Buffy adjacent. But you do all things like that. You do, like, adjacent, like – whatever the
Mike
pop
Myers
culture
not,
moment
yep,
was,
yep, yep,
all
yep.
the things happening around it. So all the things that you watch, that Angel horror movie, you watch Simply Irresistible.
If anyone's like, why did Mitch just yell Mike Myers? Because what you meant was he's Austin Powers. And then after that he tried to do other things, but it was always just Austin Powers doing that thing.
Yeah, no, I'm talking more like, because Austin Powers did well, what did the other, like, yeah, who yeah. else got a movie?
Because if I know
that.
What you did last summer, Buffy season three was, season five was incredibly dark.
I just watched the first two, I Know What You Did Last Summer's. Fuck, they're so good.
Yeah.
They're so there's a third that was made in 2006, and I'm so interested to see what it's like because I Know What You Did Last Summer is the most 90s.
Have you watched the reboot?
No.
There's a reboot.
On Amazon.
Yeah, I watched it.
What's it like?
It's like
a reboot.
A reboot. Okay. Yeah. It was fun to watch.
Okay, sick.
Yeah. It's set in Hawaii. It's like business. I think it was Hawaii. I might have just made that
How
up. There's a beach.
Is reboot.
That American accent, there was a beach.
How funny is reboot as a concept? Like people like Hollywood just made reboot a thing, and now reboot means remake. Remake, reboot are interchangeable words. They're like, we're taking the story, but we're doing it differently. And so that's a remake.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah. Streaming services love to do it and turn them into little series.
And I think
like
a remake's fine. People flip out about it. They're like, oh, why are you remaking everything? They always have.
Did they make – is it Fatal Attraction they've done again? There's something that
I watched it. I watched it. It was Fatal Attraction.
With Lizzie Kaplan and Joshua Jackson? That one? Is it good? I'm so excited for that.
So I watched the whole thing. I watched it with my partner. It was our like, we're having like a stressful work week or something like that. So come home and watch just drivel. And he's
I don't
never
think
seen,
it's going to be drivel.
He never saw the movie.
I got high hopes.
And I was like, I'm keen to watch. Joshua Jackson is so good in it.
He's
he plays that role so well. It's like very eerie. It makes you think that, oh, I reckon you'll like that. But I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's just a very good actor.
Joshua Jackson's great.
So
he
good.
Was in this year's. But the thing with this miniseries, right, because it's about six episodes, I think, maybe eight, six or eight, is it would have been a better movie. Do you know what I mean? That's very much the vibe.
I'm on
it's
this
like
at
it's like
the
FUBAR,
moment.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's TV show that I love. But I'm like, this is an action movie.
Yeah.
But it just goes for a long time,
and
which I actually like.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm happy I've got it for a longer time.
But so sometimes I'm like, I don't need that. That was how I felt about, what was the one with, about Tommy Lee and Tommy Lee
Pamela.
And Pamela Anderson. Whatever. I don't know how I feel about that series as a whole anyway, but it was same. It was just like, this would have made an amazing hour and a half long movie, and
yeah.
now it's 10 hours. We've like, this is 10 hours of content.
And, the Fatal Attraction series is very much that, and like, I would never watch it again. They've set it up for a season two, and I don't think I'm keen on that. I just wanted to see what they would have done, and what's the actor's, not Josh Jackson, the other actor's name?
Lizzie? Kaplan.
Kaplan, so good.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's incredible.
Oh, my God, she's great.
One of the best.
You should watch.
She's hot.
Yeah. And funny.
And funny.
You
I just
should watch
on you, I'm sorry.
Flash Friends in Trouble. She's really good
in
that.
I've got to watch that.
She's really good in that. And also the OC's Joshua Jackson is in that. Who's the OC? Seth?
Oh, yeah, Seth.
Seth Cohen. Not
the
Seth
OC's
Cohen.
Joshua Jackson.
He is.
He absolutely is.
He's
really,
the OC's
really
Pacey.
Funny.
OC's Pacey. Any final thoughts on this? I really enjoyed this film.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I think it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I've lost my mind doing this podcast. I don't know if I would have enjoyed it outside of the context of this podcast. I don't think it was perfect.
No.
But there were just these moments and there were these sparks and I thought it was going for something really interesting.
I'll say this. It was an hour and 50-minute movie or something.
40. Oh, yum.
Yeah. I didn't feel the time. I remember seeing that going, God, I wish it was 20 minutes shorter before I started it because I was a bit tired. But then I didn't feel the time. It was entertaining. I was entertained by the film, which is all I ask from a movie. I think in terms of the gangster film genre, it's definitely not the best.
No.
But it's because it's made in 2002.
Yeah.
And that's sick. I respect that. It's a nice little, like, I liked that about it. I will never watch it again. No. I can't see why I would ever watch it again, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine.
Do you know what I think? I think it was
nice.
Like, it was a low budget. It was an indie film. And I think that it was shooting for something bigger sometimes. And I think if the story was just that little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And that little bit more contained and that little bit more inside what it was, I think it really could have been very special. Less about someone getting out of it, more just about, you know, the world. But you're right. I think there are the go watch Goodfellas and The Wire, and yeah. you're going to get anything this is giving. But what a delight. Love a Sarsgaard, love Isabella Rossellini.
It was just nice to watch a movie that I would never have watched. It's the same thing we always talk about in this pod. It's like I got to watch a movie I would never watch. I enjoyed it. I now know it exists. Denise Richards.
I looked up the filmmaker to see what else he had done, and he's done another film with Johnny Legs.
The Ministers.
The Ministers. Because I was like, this is a really promising first film.
Hunge.
And he hasn't done a lot since. And
Hunge, he's only done like six films.
Yeah, but I think there was a really promising first film, and I'm really intrigued to see what. I'm really intrigued by The Ministers.
Well, we'll get on to it. I remember one being difficult to find.
Ah, was it? Michelle, you're welcome to come.
Do you want to come and watch The Ministers?
Yeah, I do.
Hey!
Harvey Keitel, I believe.
Yes.
Legs and Keitel, which is a great. Yeah.
Could we all get together and watch it together and maybe have dinner?
Yeah.
We can do dinner and watch it.
I love dinner.
Together, yeah.
What just happened there?
I was going to say separately, but no, we can watch. We're watch
friends.
It together.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
no, because I feel like if we watch it together, we'll comment as we watch it, and then I hear the what podcast you're saying. Will be like, hello.
I will say Zach and I have never, other than like a couple of like ads or music videos, we've never watched one of Johnny Legs' films together. Oh, The Menu. Sorry, I stand corrected.
We watched The Menu together, and that affected the podcast.
Well, yeah, because I went into going, Zach, you are not to talk about this film. We can't comment on The Menu. We can't talk about what we think of the film. And 20 minutes into the movie, I looked over to Zach and said, this is one of the best fucking movies I've ever fucked.
So how am I going to give this any objectivity?
Braz, thank you so much for coming on Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. Where can people find you?
She's got to give her Leguistamos.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why not? Hey, we'll get the Leguistamos. Where can we find you? Let's put it earlier in the podcast.
Where you can find me?
Yeah.
Instagram, TikTok.
Wow.
You're on TikTok now.
Yeah, I made a fucking TikTok and I'm posting clips of my stand-up like a...
Welcome.
Good.
I'm doing it.
I'm proud of you.
I don't like to go on the app.
I don't know why you will.
It's so loud. You open it and it immediately plays something. You have no choice. And then if you want to get out of that, another thing plays.
Yeah.
That's so. Oh, I feel like I've walked into a room full of screaming. It's so full on.
I'm
not saying there's good content on there.
No,
it really
you.
Is.
I agree. There's great creators on that platform.
Yeah. TikTok is great,
but I know when I'm watching it, if I get up to go to the toilet and I'm watching it as I'm walking,
God.
Oh, so I don't have TikTok. I have an account and I have an account with like followers.
Yeah.
But I don't have TikTok on my phone. I never post to it for exactly that reason, because it's just like I can't do it. It's a little pokey machine in my pocket and it fucks up my
brain. I think we're on the other end of that. I don't like it.
Yes.
I am not addicted to it.
No, we're very different people in that sense.
I do not. It makes me close it and then
you hate
never
it for the reason
again.
That I can't. We both can't have it on our phone.
Yeah, yeah.
For opposite reasons. Yeah. You hate it, I love it. It's like, it's just dopamine, isn't it?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
It doesn't feel like dopamine. It feels like. Yeah,
but then I just.
Yelling.
But I
have
Instagram.
It for all of the reasons that I that you
Instagram's
two don't
quieter.
Have it.
Instagram is quieter because you can.
Because the algorithm, I think they're improving their algorithm and it's getting more like TikTok and it's making me want to be on Instagram less, because there was a time when Instagram's algorithm was shit enough that I would be like, okay, this is for just like shit things in a row. Like I'm good. I can stop with the reels now. Yeah. Whereas now they're starting to figure it out. I'm like, oh no, you hooked me for long enough.
Leguistamo ratings.
Leguistamos. It's got to be a 5 Leguistamo for me. He's in it heaps. He's Hollywood Guizamo. He's so fit. He gets shot.
He kind of does everything in this
he
film.
He nearly gets
he?
A blowjob from Denise Richards, but he's like, no, I'm too good of a man.
Well, no, he was like, oh, don't do that.
Her.
No, let's just quickly.
Don't do that. You know you're beautiful.
Yeah, so he's married. Like, he's got a partner who's pregnant, right? And Denise Richards is like, going to literally sliding down his body to give him a blowjob.
Yeah.
And rather than just being like, excuse me, I've got a partner, he just goes, he's topless.
Yeah.
He just sits back on the couch, like leans back and goes, oh, no, don't.
Okay, yeah. That's probably the right interpretation of that
scene.
He does sort of turn away from her. He doesn't want to kiss her on the mouth.
Yeah. I believed in my heart. I believed in my heart that he was going to stop her.
I think he would have chucked her out.
I believed that was watching that scene, and this is just, it's open to interpretation, but I believed in my heart that he was going to say, that's enough now, and walk away and cool down.
All right, yep.
And the bad thing was, you know, that's what I think.
So
I
you're
think
going he, with a five.
Yeah, and I'm okay with people not going with a five, but I just, I mean, he produced it, he's in it, mm-hmm. he's sexy in it, he's good at acting in it. He plays an asshole. He plays a loving man. Mm-hmm. He does everything in it. He's funny. Mm-hmm. Peter Sarsgaard's in it. I think Peter Sarsgaard is worth half a Leguistamo.
Without it. No, a whole one. I'd give him a whole Leguistamo.
Like Isabella Rossellini, like, even if there's, and you'll give me reasons for why it loses Leguistamos, but Sarsgaard and Rossellini together, that's a good buffer. So I give it five, but I understand if it...
Me to go?
Yeah.
You go.
I would have given it 4.5.
Oh.
I would have. The reason I'm giving it a five is because I found out that extra little fun tidbit about the fact that he was originally cast and then asked to be the... originally cast as Jimmy and then asked to be Victor and worked towards that and essentially helped build this film using his name, and that's a fucking Leguizamo-y thing to do.
Yeah, what a ledge.
What a ledge. So I'm going to go with a five for all the reasons you said plus the extra little titty bit.
And it's okay if you don't want to give it.
Well, listen, I was going to give it 4.5
and if you
because
want to
I feel like it lost half because I didn't get to see him be... as like cheeky as I wanted, you know, that cheeky element. But when you're talking about the things that add a star or half a star, then I'm like, all right, well, maybe that makes up for it. So I'm happy to give it a five.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm giving it a five. Before we announce I'm committing to the five.
Committing to a five?
Five.
That means...
that's a... Leguizamarama?
No, it's a Leguizamarama.
Fucking hell, Jesus Christ.
But Leguizamarama is pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
But no, it is a Leguizamarama.
That means you've been on two films that are Leguizamaramas.
Oh, no, it's stuck now.
Because you did Latin History for Morons. That was a Leguizamarama.
Did you do Latin History for Morons?
I think so.
Yeah, you've done, this is your fourth then, because you've done the two John Wicks as well.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God, then it's your fifth because you also sat in for...
Oh, yeah, that one that I came in that I didn't watch. That I just found you out the front and was like, do you guys want me to come up?
That was good.
Can you guys talk about how I'm going to the UK and doing shows?
Of course we can.
To your many viewers.
Yeah, is this too late? Do you want us to put it up top?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All
right.
Yeah.
But keep this in.
Yeah, we'll keep all of this in. We'll wrap this up and in the record we'll do the
Edinburgh
top.
Fringe.
Yeah, cool, great.
But Mish, thank you.
Me, Mish.
I accidentally called Michelle Mish, so I just tried to cover by being like, that's Mish, fine. Thank you. Mish, thank you. Michelle, thank you. Of course, we set it up the top. We'll say it again. You're heading to Edinburgh.
I'm heading to Edinburgh Fringe, baby.
You little Scots listening, tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Little Scottish friends.
Bring your friends. Book ahead. It booked out last year, so who knows with the cost of living crisis, but I'm going to assume it's going to book ahead again.
It's one of my... You're in Glasgow. You can jump on the train, go up if you're in Glasgow.
That's where Lewis Capaldi is at the moment.
Glasgow.
And you should definitely...
He's got a nice voice.
Beautiful.
What a voice.
He's taking a little break from singing at the moment. I learned that from TikTok.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, everyone go and see Braz's show. It's like one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen and she's phenomenal.
Thank you.
You'd be insane not to. Absolutely fucking stupid.
Thank you.
As for everyone listening, thank you so much. You all take care now and we'll see you next week. What's Tom going to put at the end of this though?
Maybe one of Michelle's songs.
Put one of Michelle's
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, of course.
Do you have anything recorded?
With Tom?
Yeah, probably. Like, Tom would have stems.
But
yeah.
Do you want anything? Are you okay with anything at the end of this episode that you have recorded?
Whatever he has of me in his computer. He can use.
You can chuck it up,
perfect.
Tom. And if it's a good thing, more of that in the show. If it's not a good thing, that's not what she does in the show.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Breathing in, breathing out. On his skin, I have found something more, something
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.